بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، brothers and sisters, Allah سبحانه وتعالى sent us into this world to contribute. Allah sent us into this world to do something for the people. Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس. Allah did not say أخرجت من الناس. Allah said أخرجت للناس. Allah did not say أخرجت للمسلمين أو أخرجت من شباب من بلاد العربية or أخرجت للهيدراباديز or anything. Allah أخرجت لله. Who is the ناس? Everybody, all human beings. أخرجت للناس. To do what? تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you have been extracted, selected for the benefit of all people, and your job is to enjoin, to promote, to recommend, to teach. Al-ma'ruf. Al-ma'ruf is anything which is good and beneficial. Wa tanhauna anil munkar. And to prevent, to stop, to warn against everything which is munkar, which is disobedience of Allah, which is harmful, which is negative in any way. This is why we have been sent. We have been sent with a purpose. We have not been sent just to simply eat and drink and, make some babies and die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us with a purpose. And the purpose is the good of everyone, the good of all human beings. No matter who they are, no matter what color, what creed, what nationality, what religion, what political leanings, good for everyone. Now, this is something for us to keep in mind. And imagine and remember, look at it in a continuum. When you do this, anyone who lives a life which is beneficial for the community automatically becomes the most popular person, automatically becomes the most beloved person, and automatically, therefore, becomes the most influential person. You become influential by contributing. Power comes with territory. Contribution defines territory. For example, the father in a house, his territory is his house. The governor of a state, his territory is the state. The president, the rais, the prime minister of the country, his territory is the country. The bigger the territory, greater the power. And contribution defines territory. The more you contribute, the more territory you have. Now, this is the beauty of Islam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us a way to live our lives. And when we live that life in that way, we get two benefits. One benefit is that our life itself in this world becomes very beautiful, full of khair, full of barakah, full of blessing. And it makes us popular, it makes us powerful, it makes us influential. And at the same time, we get hasanat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get good deeds with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the beauty of Islam, that everything has two effects, not just one effect. The same thing applies even for evil. You do the opposite of that. Instead of contributing, if you are only a consumer, if you are somebody who is stealing, if you are somebody who is not giving the due, you take everything from somewhere, but you give nothing in return. Allah have mercy on us. Many people, many Muslims live like this. They take everything from society, but they give back nothing in return. They live on welfare by telling lies, by pretending to be sick. And then they say, I'm living on welfare. And then on top of that, they say, this is a kafir country, so therefore I'm only taking advantage of that. Please, find me the dalil for this. Find me the dalil in the Quran or the Sunnah or the seerah of Rasulullah Sallam, or even in the seerah of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain, where any of them said, or there is a rule to say, that it is okay, it is acceptable, it is permissible to steal from a non-Muslim, to oppress a non-Muslim, to take from somebody, a non-Muslim, something that you are not deserving, that doesn't come to you, to steal, to lie, to cheat to a non-Muslim, this is good. Find me the dalil, please. If you don't have the dalil, then fear Allah. Because one of the du'as which is accepted, for which Rasulullah said there is no barrier between this du'a and Allah. The three kinds of du'as. And Nabi said that there is no barrier between these three kinds of du'as and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said the first is the du'a of the parent, father for the child, a parent for the child. Second is the du'a of the traveler. And the third is the du'a of the one who is oppressed. Now imagine, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say a Muslim who is oppressed. He said one who is oppressed, meaning that if a Muslim is oppressing a non-Muslim, the non-Muslim is making du'a, and this du'a obviously he is not making to Allah because he does not believe in Allah. He is making a du'a to whichever, you know, stone or whatever he is worshipping. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to that du'a, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts this du'a. Because there is only one, Allah is Allah, and then the only one who accepts du'a is Allah. So whether he calls Allah or not, the du'a goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the position, this is what won the hearts of people and brought them to Islam. It is the adal of Islam, the adalatu in Islam. It brought the people came to Islam because of the adalatu in Islam. This is what Rami bin Amir radiallahu anhu, you know, we like to tell stories, may Allah have mercy on us, the stories will become a hujjat against us if we don't live like that. We tell the story of how Rustam Farrokhzad, the general of the Persian Empire, at the Battle of Khadisiyah, he called, he sent a message to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, to say send a messenger, and Sayyidina Sa'd radiallahu anhu sent Rabi'a bin Amr radiallahu anhu. And when the man asked him, he said, why are you here? Why are you here? Why didn't you come here? And what did he say? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us. To you. To do what? Not to take from you. To give to you. Give what? He said, to لِنُخْرِجَ الْعِبَادِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ. He said to take out the people, to extract the people from worshipping other slaves, worshipping people, worshipping their own creation, to worshipping the Rabbul Ibad, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, min juri al-adiyan ila adalati al-islam. He said, from the confusion and from all the controversies and all kinds of stuff which all man-made religions and all man-made ways of life have, to take them out from there to the adal of Islam, adalat al-Islam. Right? And then he said, min dayiqil hayati dunya ila sa'atil hayati dunya wal akhirah. He said to take them out from the constriction, from the stress, from the fear, from the trials, the tribulations of this life, of this world, to the beauty, the expanse, the peace, the harmony, the tranquility of the life of this dunya, wal akhirah, and the akhirah, and the hereafter. So the adal of Islam, this is what people's hearts were won over because of the justice of Islam. And today, if how shameful it is if a Muslim is living in a non-Muslim country, which is a welfare state, where the state is being good to people who are sick, and a Muslim is taking advantage of that and pretending to be sick and taking that money, this is haram. This is 100% haram. But we have people who do that. Right? We have people who put a handicap tag on their car, and they have nothing wrong with them. They put a handicap tag on their car so that they can park in the handicap place. Yeah, they give, because that's easier. The local people here, they have the decency not to park in a handicap place. So that is easier parking, you get it. So you have Muslims who put a handicap tag and go and park the car there. Please have mercy on yourself, because remember, you can fool people, but you cannot fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And imagine one day if somebody is watching you and they come and catch you and they see you have a handicap tag, where is the handicap? Show me. Or what about if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, so you want to be handicapped, I will give you a handicap. And next thing you know, you lose a leg or you lose an eye or something. What happens? You think Allah can't do this? Stop lying. Stop lying. Stop lying to yourself. Stop lying to society. We have been sent to create and to show a beautiful example to the people. And if we behave like this, then what kind of example are we showing? I remind myself anew that this life is a test. This life is an exam. This whole life is an exam. Right? Now, if you go to a normal exam, where like all of us, we go to university, you go to schools and colleges and so on, you do an exam, you do the course, when you finish the course, there's an exam. They say the exam is from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And in this two-hour period, you have got these question papers, you answer multiple choice or whatever it is, and you are not supposed to look at this or that. They are really testing your random access memory, nothing else. And many of you hear me, you listen to me, you know my opinion about these kinds of tests. I think they are a load of nonsense. But anyway, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's exam, see the beauty of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this whole life for us from the time we were little, from the time we attained puberty. Even there, look at that. Allah does not, the exam doesn't start when you are born. Because until you attain puberty, there is no exam. Once you attain puberty, from there to the time, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of you long and healthy lives with complete and good faculties throughout. But until your faculties are okay, right? If somebody gets Alzheimer's, somebody gets dementia, somebody gets something else that they're not able to do, then pens are lifted. So the time when you have akal and you are baligh, the time when you have attained maturity and you have intelligence, you are tested, and I am tested. Now, during this testing period, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave us with any stress. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a book. In the book, the answers to the questions are in the book. And not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a teacher who is standing next to you by your shoulder and telling you, this is the question, this is the answer. Pick this answer. Right? Here is a question in your life, pick this answer. The question in the life is, should I borrow money or interest? Here is the answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not borrow. If you borrow, I declare war on you, don't borrow. Right? The question is, should I eat halal or haram? Should I simply say Bismillah and eat, whether it is pork or it is a dead maitha, doesn't matter. La 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 la. Do this. Here is the answer. Can I sell alcohol? Can I sell this, that? No. Here is the answer. The teacher is standing next to you and showing you the answer. How can anybody fail the test? Unless they want to fail the test. But may Allah have mercy on us. We are people who are literally, by their action, the book is there, they are saying, no, I don't need the book. I won't read the book. And I'm talking about Muslims, not non-Muslims. Muslims, here is the book. No, I don't need the book. In my opinion, this is my qiyas. Why do you want qiyas? There is the kitab of Allah. No, my qiyas. Okay. The teacher, Muhammad Rasulullah, he is telling you, here is the answer. No, excuse me, I don't need your answer. I have my own answer. Right? This is not the 7th century. This is the 21st century. This is a modern world. Now what do you do? So at the end of that, if you fail the test, whose fault is it? But this is what we are doing. May Allah have mercy on us. This is what we are doing. The test has been given to us. We are living a test. But with the test, we have been given the answer book. And we have also been given a teacher. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give Rasulullah the highest of the highest rewards. Who did his job, he told us, he stood by us and he showed us, this is the answer. In spite of that, if we do not answer correctly, brothers and sisters, who do we have to blame? And then a day will come when there is la bay'un fihi wa la khullatu wa la shafa'a. That day there is no trading, there is no friendship, there is no shafa'a, there is no intercession. We will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. May Allah protect us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to live a life where on that day we will not be shamed before the whole world. Right? We have to be very, very careful with what we say and do, because this whole life is a test. life, you live this life according to the way. And very simple. Do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to do in the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Right? Very simple formula. Here is the, what shall I do? This. How shall I do it? This way. Right? Aqimu salah. Labbaik. I am ready. Kaif? How should I do it? Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. He said, pray as you have seen me pray. Simple. Now the same thing applies to everything in life. It is not restricted. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli is not restricted only to salat. It extends to everything. How should I do business? The way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did business. How should I treat my enemy? The way he treated his enemy. How should I treat my friend? The way he treated his friend. How should I treat my wife or husband? The way he treated his wife. How should I treat my children? The way every single thing. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did two things. One, he gave his Nabi a life which is so complete and so all-encompassing. I can't remember or can't think of anybody who played so many roles in the life of only one person, the same person. He was also a commander. He was also an employee. He was also an employer. He was also a businessman. He also won battles. He also lost battles. He was oppressed, but he never oppressed anybody. Every aspect of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covered in the life of one single man. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused every little detail to be preserved. He gave him a set of people surrounding him, his family and his friends and his companions, who loved him so much that every single little detail of his life was preserved, so that people who come after him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us among those who follow the beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah, we can follow his sunnah in every single thing. There is nothing that is there in our lives where there is a question, and if you say, what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? There is nothing to say, well, I don't know what he did. It is there. We know what he did. Now, this is both a good thing and a bad thing, in a manner of speaking. It's a good thing because, alhamdulillah, I have the answers to everything. It can be a bad thing if I don't follow it, because then I have no excuse. I cannot say I did not know. No, you knew, because it was there. It was preserved. You chose not to do it. So it's not a bad thing by itself, but we can make it a bad thing for ourselves by behaving in this way. So please, my brothers and sisters, let us choose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us choose the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let us live our lives in a way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led his beautiful life, so that we also can become like he became. The most beloved, the most influential, the most powerful person that existed. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.